Bless the Lord, bless the holy name of God. All my being, bless the Lord, remembering the goodness of God.
Loving and forgiving are you, O Lord. So to
good morning. Grace and peace to you on this beautiful morning. We are gathered at the first Sunday of the month, as is our tradition. We will be celebrating communion. You can tell by the vestments and the different things on the chancel and everything else. So wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And we will serve, as is our tradition, by intincture, coming down the center aisle, receiving the elements returned by the side aisles, when you are invited to do so. So also to remind you that we have open communion. It is open to all who would like to come forward. If you want us to bring you the elements, if you would like to remain seated and have us brought to you, the ushers will be coming by as rows are coming forward. Let them know and we can serve you where you are. If you just like to sit and have it served, that all of that is perfectly fine and we're glad to do that. By way of announcements, I am going to be gone for a bit of vacation. Melissa and I are going to vacate, probably a staycation, but we're going to just try and catch up with some of the things and spend some time, you know, spoiling each other, if you will. In my absence, we'll have some other people coming, and you need to come here and celebrate them. You heard the story. The pastor invites his bishop to come to preach at the church, and they get to the church, and only three people show up. And the bishop says to the preacher, he says, did you tell everyone I was coming? And the preacher says, no, but I guess the word got out anyway. So please be here. We have some wonderful speakers coming and different things that bring in great new perspectives is always a good thing. So I hope that you are present for all of those and that you welcome those guest preachers. What else by way of announcements? Anything else by way of announcements that we need to remember as we are preparing ourselves? I cannot think of anything. And I'm looking for anyone else who's going to remind me of what I've forgotten. It doesn't appear so. So our agendas are in order. And now we can set those aside and turn our attention to the Lord God and be in worship. Stand, wave hello to one another, and remain standing for our call to worship.
Remain standing, please, for the call to worship. The Holy One prepares a place for us in this time of worship. We come with our anxiety and distractions, seeking comfort and reassurance. God counts each person precious and irreplaceable, a unique creation beloved and valued. We would be rid of hostility and estrangement that we might be reconciled to God. God meets us where we are and guides us. We come daring to seek what we need, believing the promises of God.
Yeah, why don't you bring your book over here, kiddo? Okay. All right.
3, 5, 7, just as I am. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
The first lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from you? Who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
By way of prayers of concerns, you see those listed on the back of the bulletin, those that we are aware of. We need to continue to be aware of fires and floods that are occurring. Somehow it seems highly ironic that both would be happening in the same nation, and yet such is the extremity of weather that seems to be the case. So we lift both of those. Can you imagine being stranded in Death Valley in the desert due to a flash flood? That's irony. Mother Nature is amazing. Amen. Other concerns that you might have as we're gathered here together. We have those who are not present with us, who are still among us, but cannot attend due to infirmities, and I want you to keep those in mind. Be aware of those that we haven't seen. Don't hesitate to contact them. If they are stuck at home for whatever reason or wherever they may be, they may need a call. They may need a connection to some of their pewmates. And that's what our Christian family is all about, so we celebrate all of those. If there are no other concerns, I want to lift some special birthdays coming up. Takai is having a birthday on Monday. I think he's turning 18. 79? 7. Happy birthday to you, brother. I have down here that a young woman by the name of Melissa Freitag has a birthday on Friday. Is that true, Miss Melissa? I think I actually surprised her. I think she forgot. Her sister has a birthday on Sunday, Sarah Vasile in Grand Junction. So Melissa will turn 41 and Sarah will turn 39. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Next week, just to be aware of Vili Maconi, Phyllis Thomas, Sharon Hefner, Rick Jasper, and Jim Polliard is having a birthday on Sunday, the 21st of August. So don't forget about those, as you are aware. Other birthdays, anniversaries, special celebrations, achievements. Haley, have you won any other tournaments? I know that you were rated sixth gymnast in the state of Colorado. Isn't that right? Did all of you know that? Stand up, Haley. Wave your arms. If she was warmed up, I'd have her do cartwheels down the aisle or something. But congratulations to you, young lady. Others, any other special? We are a grateful people, grateful to God's gifts and graces to us. Amen? If there are no other prayer concerns or celebrations, let's turn to our unison prayer. Sometimes, O God, we can see no reason to join in prayers of confession, for we believe we are the faithful ones doing the right things. At other times, we despair at our attitudes, our stinging words, our insensitivities to the feelings of others. We live as if the world revolves around us and soon become alienated one from another and from you. There are many who seek to divide us. We thank you for seeking to unite us. Lord, as you reassure us that your love, forgive our failings. Guide us, O Lord, to your table, side by side with all of your children. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord God,
lover of humanity, creator of all that is, we give you thanks for joining us here this morning. We give you thanks for the beauty of the rain that watered our land, for that beautiful gift of moisture. And as we turn and celebrate moisture to nurture crops, and we acknowledge the living water of Jesus Christ, water for our spirits and souls, nourishment, life itself. We've come with concerns, and we ask that you listen to those as you always do and guide us in our response to them. Hear also, Lord, the concerns in our hearts, the worries, the thoughts that haunt us, the concerns that keep us awake through the dark hours of the night. Lord, hear us. Be with us. Thank you. We lift our prayers, Lord, for the world around us, for our nation, for our state, for our city, for our church, knowing that you are ever present everywhere and at all times, and knowing that your will is always to be followed. It will always lead to love and to peace and to joy. Help us separate out all of the different distractions of the world and seek your awesome face. Turn to you and honor you. And turn ourselves in ways that is honorable to you. Lord God, be with us. Be with us as we come here and gather this summer gathering, this gathering of families, this gathering at table, this gathering of birthdays, these celebrations. Celebrations of family and families and your family. Lord God, bless our assemblies, bless our gatherings, bless our families, and bless us to thy service. Hear us as we proclaim our allegiance to you with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I will remind you of the offering. The plates are in the narthex. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for giving back to the Lord a portion to remember who gave it to you. It is His. It is His. I invite the ensemble forward for our anthem.
Thank you.
And now, if you'll please stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel is from the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 32nd verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sit down if you'd like. Are you struggling with the new normal? You greet somebody and you... Are you going to bump hands or elbows, shake? I don't know how to greet one another anymore. It used to be pretty easy. You just reach out and shake hands or, well, sometimes. I've known a couple of people in my life that you never shook hands with. You hugged. It didn't matter where you were, when you were. But when you came together, you'd hug a big burl of a guy, and he would just hug you like a bear. You just had to be ready for Alan. But do we bump hands or what? And the COVID thing... It has made us more aware, has it not, that
that shaking hands may not be the best solution to our societal greetings. We know that even if COVID was not an issue, that flu spreads by contact and what have you. And even before COVID, we lost people to flu each season. So maybe we're coming to a new period of awareness about how we greet one another. I do have a confession. The washing hands things has not stuck with me, and I do not sing happy birthday while I wash my hands. How many of you do the full 30 seconds still? And good for you, amen. I just don't. And our bishop said singing happy birthday was the perfect way to remember. Oh, the Lord's Prayer is another good way of doing that? Okay. Just saying, Holly says. Okay, thank you for that. Might be something to plug in, see what works for you. But we're more aware of this thing about hand washing. And hand washing is a long-standing tradition in the Hebrew church. There were rituals about cleanliness. And at a time when viruses and bacteria had not been invented yet, all right, invented was the wrong word. In a time before we were aware that those little tiny microbes were spreading disease and what have you, ritual hand washing was a part of the church and part of faithfulness. It was an important part of what it went on. They may not have understood all of why it was a benefit to them. But that hand washing is an important part. And it was in that ritual cleanliness. Some of it was a lesson about obedience. Jesus challenged some of that as well. Nonetheless, hand washing was a good thing. And God is talking. Did you hear Isaiah's account as God rejects humans? Listen to it. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you may make many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That's pretty severe. That's pretty indicting. That's pretty fierce. God is angry. Indeed, it seems God is giving up on humanity. No more offerings. No more rituals. No more vacation Bible schools. No more praying. No more festivals. No more women's gatherings. No more community meals. All of it is gone. God is rejecting all of it. Has God indeed given up on humanity? Listen to the end of the passage. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So there's hope. You see, God is not criticizing those rituals and those traditions and those things. How many of you have a birthday party every year? Pretty much. At least one in the family. Some kind of birthday party. We have a birthday party in the church. Pentecost Sunday. We have rituals. How many of you have ever heard of a Christmas Eve church service? How many? Those are important services. Who of them among us would say, well, Easter morning service is not that important. We don't need to attend. Those rituals are part of who we are, and they help us stay aligned. Aligned with God, aligned with one another, aligning ourselves. So these rituals and these important things that God is saying they are meaningless to me are meaningless when our hands are not clean. It's a metaphor. It doesn't mean we are physically unclean. It is a metaphor for unclean hearts. How many of you are Shakespearean scholars? Good. Because I'm not, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the Bard upon Avon. He wrote a play. You might have heard of it. It's the Scottish play. If you're a theater person, that's how you refer to it. Otherwise, you might know it as the tragedy Macbeth. You're not supposed to speak it in the theater. It's a bad omen. It's bad juju. Very bad luck. But the Scottish play, Macbeth and his wife, the Lady Macbeth, they're heirs to the throne, and the king, King Duncan, is the king of the land, and they become impatient for the power. They come impatient for becoming the king and queen, and so they murder King Duncan, and they kill him, and there's blood, and it is
an awful scene. Well, Macbeth succeeds to the throne. Lady Macbeth, the queen, all is well until their consciences begin to play upon them. Comes one of the most famous lines from Shakespeare. Lady Macbeth, remembering the blood, remembering, metaphorically sees the blood on her hands and cries, out, out, damned spot, out, out, trying to wash away that blood that she's washed off her hands long ago, but in her mind she sees vividly. Her conscience will not let her continue. It's a tragedy there. Evil comes around. Lady Macbeth commits suicide. Hamlet is beheaded and is killed. Conscience. Shakespeare understood that. He understood that there is cleanliness and there is uncleanliness of the heart, of the mind, of the soul, of the being. That's what God's talking to you. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Feels pretty severe, pretty worrisome. What is it we have done? You are doing evil. You are participating in injustice, oppressing others, ignoring the needs of the powerless, ignoring the orphan, failing to care for the widow. We are not doing justice. If we are not about those things, if we are not a righteous people, that's what righteousness is. Doing right with God, being in the right relationship with God, being on track with where we should be. It's not about how often we attend church, although that's vitally important. It's not about how often we read the Bible, how well versed we are. It's about being a just people, believing in justice, and standing up for what's right. This is very counterculture because today the focus is on the self more than it has ever been. What do you deserve? What should you get out of life? This is made just for you. This will make people turn their heads and notice you. You can do this and people will notice you. What about this so that people will stand up and notice you? It's all about self. And it makes great allowances for injustices and for greed. Temptation. Temptation. Will we succumb to those? Will we remain with blood on our hands? This is turning out to be an incredibly heavy sermon. But these are God's words coming to us. This is what Isaiah is saying to the people, because Isaiah loves the people. And in fact, God loves the people. And God wants to save the people. God wants the people to be healthy again, to be sane again, to have the consciences that are clean enough to come before the Lord, and to return in joy and right relationships, in right relationships, with mouths that don't get all tangled up trying to preach the sermon. God wants to return us to right relationship and wants us to realize if we've made a mistake, what those mistakes are and how to come back. But you see, it's important to realize what God says. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice. Rescue the oppressed, defend the orphans. Plead for the widow. Take care of one another. Or as Jesus put it, he put it even simpler, love one another. Love your neighbor. Melissa and I went and got haircuts. I don't know if any of you noticed, I probably look shorter. I don't think I look any more handsome, but I do look shorter. And I was wearing a t-shirt that on the back says, love your neighbor. And the gal cutting my hair red, and she says, that's an interesting saying. And I blinked a couple of times. I said, well, that's not my personal saying. It's what Jesus says in the Bible. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Oh. And I said, and you know that's when they ask the question, well, who's my neighbor then? Because I don't want to have to love everybody, do I? And that's the story of the Good Samaritan. So now both of the hairstylists are standing there listening. I've preached two sermons this week. The Good Samaritan has come along. Samaritans were the no good, ne'er-do-well people that we hate, the people that you're not supposed to be around, the despised ones. And the priest and the Levite walk around the man. There's a man in the gutter who's been beaten and stripped and naked and unconscious and injured, and they walk around him because they're supposed to. You're not supposed to approach a dead body if you're a priest. Now, you don't know if he's dead. You better be careful. But this no good, good-for-nothing man from Samaria comes. I tell you, I need a vacation, friends. We're going to get there. The Samaritan comes along and he does the right thing. He's the one who takes care of his neighbor, even though this neighbor probably despises him. And that's what it's all about, taking care of one another, loving one another. And bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, this is good news. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are heirs. We need to say amen, thank you, Lord. We need to say thank you, bless you, Lord, for blessing us. We don't deserve this, but we come before you. Let's do that. Let's turn to communion. Open your books, your hymnals, to page 13 if you would like to follow along there, or you can follow along on the screen. Pastor Neo is here to join me. We prepare to take the elements. Come, Pastor.
We should do this.
Clean hands. If you're in your hymnal, we turn to the great Thanksgiving. Let us read responsively. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. You can set your hymnals aside for a moment, or hear, if you will, the words of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 On the night in which he was betrayed, he gave himself up for us. He took the bread and gave thanks to you, Lord, and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance
of me. He has prepared the table. He has invited us to come forward. He is gathering us in forgiveness and reconciliation. This is the good news. I invite the communion helpers forward. We come to the Lord's table. We come with humble hearts, but we come to feast with Him. Come, I invite you.
Thank you.
If you'll stand and join me in singing hymn number 519, Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Gosh, the worship service comes to an end. Singing that song, I am lifted. Singing that song, I'm reunited with all who have traveled before and who will travel after. We are God's people, amen?
Amen.
In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let him lead us, amen?
Amen.
Join hands with someone, if you will. So we sing our closing. Amen.